So about a year or so ago, I was invited to a birthday party of one of our parishioners. They're from Mexico, and I asked them if there's anything they want me to pick up for the birthday party, and they said, "Yeah, Father Ben, get a piñata." So I said, "Okay." So I went to the local tienda, Mexican grocery, got a piñata. So I brought the piñata to the home, we hung it up, and the kids sat there and hit and hit and hit and hit and hit, and it fell down on the ground, and they kept beating this thing, and nothing came out, and the man turned to me, and he was like, "Father, did you happen to put any candy inside of it?" And I was like, I didn't know you had to do that. Like, we did not learn that in the seminary, so it was kind of disturbing, actually, to see these kids, like, beating this thing. So we just got a bunch of candy and threw it out there for them, took away their sticks. But if you pardon the analogy, it's a poor analogy, so my apologies. You know, when someone is not authentic, they're a little bit like a piñata. What do I mean? It means they look great on the outside, but they're kind of hollow, kind of fake on the inside. I mean, we all kind of, let's be honest, we kind of know these people. Is that they're great on the outside. It looks wonderful, and they're very nice to your face. But then when they're not in your presence, they're kind of like a hollow piñata, right? Meaning, they're kind of fake. Doesn't mean they're bad people. What it means is there's not what the saints refer to as, quote, authenticity. What is authenticity? St. Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, St. Francis de Sales, they talk about this quality that we call authenticity. Some of you may have heard this big word, don't get freaked out, magnanimous, magnanimity. That's what that means. It means somebody's real. Somebody's real. They've got depth to them. So when we talk about being authentic, basically what we mean is this, is that we're erasing the difference between who I am on the inside and who I present to be on the outside. In other words, there's not this private side of me that nobody needs to know about, and this whole public persona, butterflies and rainbows, what we call integritas, integrity. So, a random fact of the day, did you know that the human face has 43 muscles in it? Our faces have 43 muscles, and our face, the muscles in our face are wired to the neural transmitters in our brain. You know what that means? That means all of our emotions, sadness, joy, stress, anger, they're on our face without us realizing. So when your spouse says to you, "Honey, it's written all over your face," it really is written all over your face. Really. You ever heard this expression? They wear their heart on what? That's what we're talking about. And this is why your spouse can look at you and say, "What's wrong?" "Nothing. Don't lie to me." They can tell. So part of an authentic person means that they're honest. You know, I had a stressful day. I had a stressful day. "Honey, can we talk?" But a lot of times, like, "No, I'm fine. I'm fine." So authenticity is the opposite of what's called duplicity. So duplicity means that we're duplicitous, which means, of course, that we're living two lives. This one and this one. But authenticity means we're genuine. St. Paul, for instance, he talks a lot about this. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, for instance, he says this. He says, be transformed by the renewal of your minds. By the renewal of your minds. What does that mean, Paul? What Paul is saying there is that our minds, what we're thinking about, is going to direct our actions, and our actions is going to direct whether we're a happy or miserable person. And that's going to have a ripple effects to the whole world around us. So how do you make the world a better place? Well, you start with your thinking. I mean, if we're a negative Nelly all the time, that's going to have a ripple effect on our lives, right? And our spouse and our kids, they can tell it. It's all right here. It's pretty amazing. You know, there's a friend of mine. She's been a youth director here in Memphis for 25 years. She's also worked with young adult groups. And she's got a lot of experience with teens. And she said something to me recently that I thought was really insightful. She said, you know, Father Ben, in every school, in every high school, in every college, in every school, there's the popular one who everybody wants to invite to their get-together or rub shoulders with. She said, but there's also the kids that may not be the popular one, but the ones that everyone wants to be around. I never thought about that. She said, there's a big difference between being popular and being the ones that people want to be around. And I said, well, what's the difference? She said, you can always tell the kids that people want to be around because they're authentic. They're real. There's no, you know what? You can, they're like, this is me. I'm a work in progress. I'm a fixer-upper, okay? And because when somebody's authentic, it's attractive to other people. Anybody ever heard the word, it's a big word, anybody ever heard the word peevish? If you've never heard that word peevish, it literally means to be annoyed or irritated. This is where we get the phrase pet peeves from. Like, what irritates you? You know what is my pet peeve? When I order a cup of coffee and it's like iced tea. You ever get a cup of coffee on an airplane? It's like super weak. So 2 years ago, CBS did a survey of over 5,000 Americans, and they asked them, what is your pet peeve? What irritates you? So with your permission, I want to share with you some of the things that they said, which is very insightful. Some of the things that irritate Americans. Number one, when you're talking to someone and they keep staring at their phone. You ever known somebody that does this? Group texts. Man, when I get a group text, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man. Because you know you're gonna get 30 more. Right? And then people feel obligated to, well, why didn't you say anything? You know. Mm-hmm. It's interesting the things that irritate people. People that take up two parking spaces. You go to Kroger, there's not enough parking, and somebody takes up two because their car is special. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It evokes this inner passive-aggressive Father Ben that I want to park an inch away from their car so they can, but I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Escalators on airports. You ever try to get by somebody on the escalator in the airport? Right, can you just get over? People that go 20 miles an hour in the speed lane. Right, like they're in the Rose Parade. You know? But they're going 20 miles an hour. Doesn't this irritate you? Mm-hmm. People that take up both armrests on an airplane. People that talk during movies. We each have these little things that kind of get under our skin. So this is why I'm telling you this, for two reasons. Number one, if you do any of these things, please stop. Okay? Please stop. All right? Number two, somebody who's authentic readily acknowledges, you know, I probably do things that irritate other people. Okay, maybe I shouldn't drive 20 miles an hour in the speed lane. Maybe that's why there's a row of cars behind me, right? But when somebody brings this to their attention, they don't get defensive. Well, you do things that irritate. Yes, I do. Rather, with somebody who's authentic would say, thank you. It may sting a little bit. Thank you, honey, for bringing that to my attention. Thank you. I'm going to work on that. This is a fixer-upper. It's a work in progress. Because when we talk about authenticity, we're erasing the difference between the person I am and the person I ought to be. It's not duplicity, it's authenticity. And as we grow in authenticity, become a happier, more genuine human being, I can promise you, that's going to have ripple effects in your family.